Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and also sometimes gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J Bond, probably lesser known as J. I should just say lesser known as J Bond. And with me,
as always, you know, I hope they know by now. They should know. It's your boy Mike.
Sunday, October 25th.
Doesn't feel like a Sunday, though.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't feel like a Sunday. I didn't go to work yesterday, but I was outside all day doing yard work. So like,
yard work?
Yeah, so like yesterday felt like Sunday because normally that's when I'm like I have the whole day to do something.
I'm cold there. Or?
It's getting cold. Like sometimes you wake up and it's like 45, but then like you know, I go into work and work is just, it's a warehouse, so it stays cold when it's cold. And then I don't realize until like I step outside just to like take a breath of fresh air or just like make a phone call or whatever that it's like 70 out in the afternoon. But then like by nighttime, which now
it
it's like, yeah, then it drops. Like it's probably dark by like 5:10 now, you know, sun's going down. So it's like, yeah, I'm running out of daylight, which sucks. So now when I get home from work, I'm raking leaves in the dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Do you have any kind of lights you have to set up? Or?
Oh, I mean, I could like, you know, park the truck so that the headlights are on, but then I'm like, then I'm either killing the battery or wasting gas.
Yeah.
So we have like motion sensor lights, so usually I just kind of hit those and then just work with that. There actually is like another set of lights I could put on, but I actually don't. I don't know why. I don't know if the bulbs even work because we never use those lights.
Ooh.
They're like accent lights for like some trees in the front of the yard, but like in theory, I could just turn them on and change the direction of them and then just like put them back. Whatever. Yeah, so today got games. I have a couple of things I want to talk about, articles, whatnot. You mentioned yearly
annual
releases.
Game. Yeah.
All right, hit me. Hit me with your topic.
Okay, so I picked up Assassin's Creed Syndicate on Thursday. And
is that technically just Assassin's Creed 4, or is it like Black Flag where it's not really storyline, it's just like a...
Well, I guess they're technically calling Black Flag 4, so if you did number, then I guess you need to be 5, so technically this would be 6.
Okay.
I guess, yeah. Set in London, all that nonsense, but my concern was people either, because of Unity, people love it or they hate it. Because I've been seeing people like, oh, you know, how is Syndicate? And most are like, well, either go read a review or go play it. And most that have read the reviews are hit and miss. Most are like, oh, if you didn't like Unity, skip it. Or forget about Unity. Here's why we like it. Here's why it's better. Da 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 da. And then some are just saying, nope, skip it. Just like Unity, it's a technical mess.
Okay,
because
so
they
that
did
was
have
the problem with Unity. Unity was the one that just was broken.
Yeah, it was just broken. But there's two update patches, two day one update patches. And the game seems to run fine for me.
Syndicate,
I don't know what
you mean. Syndicate.
Yeah, Syndicate.
Two.
Yeah,
okay.
Syndicate, not Unity. Yeah. Syndicate had 2 1-day patches.
So the story of Unity wasn't the problem. It was the mechanics.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. They seem to have a better narrative this time around, but yeah, the focal point is hit or miss. Everyone seems too nervous now with annual titles because it's either better or it's worse. I think this one's better. But, for example, Call of Duty, we all played the beta, but I liked it, even though it wasn't new per se.
Right. So what's the... Well, so your question is what's the deal with them, or...
Yeah, what's the deal with... Like, if they're not going to necessarily be new, why would you still continue release an annual title?
Money.
I mean, I
short answer,
I get
money.
It's money, but at the same time, if you want to continue to reintroduce your franchise or series to the gamers or fans or whatever, wouldn't you wait a couple years and,
No.
read the message boards or whatever, as they claim they say they do, and kind of do more research and say, okay, so they didn't like that, but they like that. So we'll tweak that a little bit, but we'll change that, the thing they didn't like, or the story, or whatever kind of gameplay mechanic they didn't like. But instead, they're just, okay, here's the story. Keep that. Maybe change that. Okay, ship it. And then it comes out, and for some,
Everyone's mixed.
everyone just completely mixed. And then they're just like, oh, well, we thought we released a complete product. But obviously, it's not complete because something in the game is always broken.
So I mean, I guess the problem for me is that there's two sides to the negative of the coin, and there's two sides to the positive. So as opposed to it just being like,
Cash cow.
well, no. I mean, from the point of as a person who I consider myself an expert on complaining about things, right? So I would say that people's complaints against Ubisoft are different from people's complaints against Call of Duty. But the problem is the vocal minority, because I would call it the vocal minority, is what we hear all the time, right? So for Call of Duty, it's, oh, they just released the same game, but it's updated slightly, right? But when they drastically change the game, nobody wants it. When they dras when they've drastically made changes to Call of Duty, they have had to change them and fix it and go back to the same formula that they have, which is what everybody really does want. They just want to bitch that they have to pay $60 for an updated version of a game. Much like people paying, $60 for Madden 16, Madden 17, Madden 18, whatever,
Right, for
2K15,
just like a
2K16.
roster, yeah, for just like a
Exactly, right?
roster.
And minor changes to the mechanic. It was like when NHL introduced the skill stick.
Oh, yeah.
That changed the game because that was a completely different mechanic for actually playing the game, which, rather than just like hold X and time it.
It's more you actually.
So Madden has introduced a few more mechanics that slightly enhance the game while the rest of it stays the same, and Call of Duty has basically adopted that same model. They added, wall jumping and running in
Right.
Advanced Warfare, and then Black Ops 3 seemingly runs off that same mechanic. Black Ops 3 just takes place in the not quite so distant future of Advanced Warfare, with a storyline that comes off of Black Ops 2. Now, I didn't play Black Ops 2, so I won't even speak to it.
Right, yeah.
I have Black Ops 1, and that was, I think, the last. I had Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 1, and I think that was it. And I said, I'm done. When I bought my
Right.
Xbox One, it came with
It
Advanced
came with,
Warfare.
yes. It's like you had a choice in the matter of
Well, and I
that.
didn't really care because price-wise, it was still cheaper to buy that bundle. It's not like I'm like I can't own the game. Like I don't care.
Right, no, yeah.
But I never really played. Like I played it online a little bit, but like my brother had Ghosts, and Ghosts felt like Modern Warfare 3 to me. Just literally, like I mean, and that was on Xbox 360. So maybe because there was no platform jump, whereas like when I'm at my house, I'm playing PS4, Xbox One. He doesn't have any new, he's no next gen. So everything we play at his house is either what I've brought with me, or it's three his 360. And there's a,
60.
there is a difference looking at the games from Xbox One to 360. So maybe because we were playing Ghosts on old console, it just doesn't translate as to being new. Because I thought Ghosts was dumb. So I think the vocal minority is what we hear 90% of the time. So people bitch that Assassin's Creed, bitching that the game is broken, totally valid. If the game doesn't work, they should be making it work. And I don't understand how you can produce a game that's effectively the same as the previous game, mechanically speaking, and not have fixed it and just copy and paste. Like I assume a big portion of Call of Duty is literal copy paste.
Copy
You
paste.
know? Like all of those mechanical functions in the gameplay, I can't imagine they're tweaking them with any sort of great depth that means they can't just reuse the code or reuse the, you know, all that stuff. So I don't,
Right.
from Ubisoft's perspective, I really don't understand how the Assassin's Creed games can get more broken as they keep coming out. Like, you would think they would get more stable and better.
Right.
Which, to Call of Duty's credit, you really don't hear much about that. You really don't hear much about Call of Duty games being, you know, broken. And I mean, I
Broken,
don't
yeah.
follow the series that much, but it's one of those things where usually when something is really bad in a big game, you know about it. Like, Halo Master Chief Collection
Oh,
was
yeah.
fucking, it was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. You could not play the game when it first
Heard
came out.
the
I can
game
play it now.
general or multiplayer?
Oh, multiplayer. The
Okay,
multiplayer
say.
servers were completely broken. I could play the single player campaign, but I didn't buy it for the single player
No,
campaign.
no, no. Yeah, God,
You
of
know?
course not.
I really wanted to just play it online and, you know, relive the glory days. Which you couldn't. And the problem is that, yeah, there's tons of people who still play it, but it doesn't, the urge to play the game is not,
The allure
it's,
isn't there
yeah,
anymore.
it's just not, yeah, it's not there because the game isn't fresh. And that is, you know, that's a, that's, you know, the window, you miss the window because you
Right,
released
it's
a game that was
crucial.
broke. So I can, and with Halo 5 coming out in 2 days, I can
Wow.
see people's, or at least I think it's this Tuesday.
I think it's soon.
I think it's this Tuesday. I can see people's hesitance to want to jump into another 343 game, especially if you're heavy on the multiplayer. I'm a little bit nervous more because I really like, and this is apparently not a common opinion, I did not like Halo 4, the story. I didn't like it. I didn't like where 343 took the story. I didn't like where they went with the Master Chief's story arc and how things had changed. And so I'm nervous to see how it plays out with Guardians, only because of, and like, I don't read a lot of the books.
Oh
So
yeah,
like
there's a whole
the
like
external lore aside from the game definitely
yeah.
will play a part of it, but it just, there's things about Halo 5, and I'm not going to get into it because that wasn't really the topic, but there's things about it that make me nervous. I will probably buy it, but I probably won't get it at launch one because I don't have any
It's not
money.
a day one
I
game,
don't,
but
well,
well,
no, I really want it, but I don't have any money. I can't keep shelling out $60 for these games. And I mean,
No.
I literally, Grand Theft Auto 5 was the last thing I bought, and I kind of regret buying it. Because I just, I mean, I play it with you and Hug and stuff, but like, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, I know I'm never going to get my $60 out of this.
Right.
So Halo, I'll probably get my $60 out of. But
Oh, yeah.
so to go, so anyways, that was a super long segue. So, you know, I get that people are annoyed when Ubisoft games don't, or just games in general, like Drive Club, don't work.
Don't work, yeah.
It boggles my mind that they can continue to release these games aware of the issues and not have been able to figure out what the problem is, because you've been making
Right.
games on PS4 for a while now. You know, I even
They
not
can just
just
have it for
Assassin's
something
Creed, just
out.
other Ubisoft games. Like, there has to be someone who has, you know, because like Watch Dogs, come on, like, that
Yeah.
game worked ish.
Whatever, yeah.
You know, it just didn't have any of the stuff that everybody wanted, but, you know, I don't understand that part of it. That part will never ever make sense to me. The other part is the story part that I get, but I don't think people get that they misread this, right? So they like certain Assassin's Creed games because the story was basically a transition from the next one, but then it's like, you know, people either love, you know, everybody seemed to love Black Flag.
Yeah, Black Flag is great.
You know, when you change something drastic in the Assassin's Creed universe, people are like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Why'd you
Why'd
do
you do
that?
this? Why'd you change this? It was good. Just give me the same thing, which is the Call of Duty mentality.
True.
But they react to it poorly. And it's like,
Oh,
so you
yeah.
really don't want change. You really want the same thing. You just don't understand that you need to shut up.
Right,
Really,
yeah.
really just stop. Like, if you really, and Colin Moriarty, and Kind of Funny, one of his other, I mean, he says this more than once, but it was one of his other podcasts. He was like, people don't have the mental fortitude to vote with their wallet. He's like, people will constantly say that they hate Ubisoft, they hate Assassin's Creed, they hate Call of Duty, but they buy the game when it comes
But they
out.
still, yeah,
They buy
exactly.
the game when it comes out. And he said the problem is that they literally do not have the ability to stick to their guns and just say, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
You know,
No change, no buy.
when Call of Duty started implementing all those stupid $15 map packs when you only got three maps,
Yeah.
that was it for me. I literally was like, no, I'm
Right,
done with
something that's already in
this.
the game that's getting unlocked with like a $15 code.
Yeah, so I had stopped buying map packs on Modern Warfare 3. I think I bought one map pack and that was it.
Right.
And then Black Ops 1 came out and I bought Black Ops 1 because, you know, at the time that was one of the only games I was really playing and everybody had jumped to Black Ops 1. And the second they started doing map packs, I literally told my friends, I was like, I don't care if we don't get to play anymore, I'm done with this. I'm not going to keep buying
I'm
into
not
this.
shelling out.
And that was it. And that was when I stopped, and again, same deal. That was when I stopped buying Call of Duty games. And I wouldn't buy the map packs. I just
Right.
flat out refuse. I wouldn't buy the Battlefield. I don't think I bought the Battlefield ones either, and I definitely didn't buy Battlefield Premium.
I shelled out for it. I don't know why.
Like, it's one of those things,
Also,
like, looking back, had I bought it, I don't think I would have gotten any more use out of the game.
right.
Because the other games still would have come out, and I still would have jumped from those, you know, from Battlefield to
So,
those games.
yeah.
So there's a part of it where it's like I would not have changed. Like, I don't
Anything.
think Premium would have saved me. It would have just given me some extra maps and stuff
Right,
to play.
to play, yeah.
So I think the people who get mad at Ubisoft either have to legitimately stick to their guns and say, I hate the way they keep changing the games,
Or add
and then
microtransactions.
stop buying them.
Yeah, because
Because if
this
you
one has
stop buying them,
mini transactions or whatever. That's another issue, is this one has way too much paid DLC. I think Hug brought this up when he asked me about the game. He's like, I was going to get it, but then I saw the store and it was just buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. And he was like, nope, that turned me off from wanting to get the game. He's like, I'm glad it's cool, but no, I'll pass.
Right.
So I think that's probably also another thing, since you mentioned not wanting to shell out money for DLC packs for Call of Duty. I think that's the same thing with Assassin's Creed, is they'll make it and then they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll buy the season pass and some of these microtransaction, in-game money things, so you can upgrade your character and then, play this, 2-minute DLC mission that should have been in the game anyways.
Right. Yeah, part of well, see, I don't see, I don't hate microtransactions and I don't hate DLC as much as I hate the idea of the companies not existing, right? So I look at like Destiny introduced microtransactions and I get it. Bungie doesn't have anything else. They literally don't. There's no other, you know, yes, they're probably getting royalties, you know, from Halo and things like that, but I can't imagine it's at this point very much only
Right, because they still need to find a
because
way
they
to make
well
money.
because they sold Halo to Microsoft, right? So I don't know who retains rights to
Oh,
whatever stuff, but I'm just saying like it's not like they have this vast library of content that's bringing in money even in small amounts to keep them funded. The only thing they really have to go on is Destiny. So
That's, yeah.
when they're making a game that costs them like $500 million to make, a hundred million of which people estimate they spent in solely on advertising the game, which is like just kind of absurd when you think about it. You know, at one point they have to say, "Hey, we've sold this many copies, and there's this many consoles. The sales are eventually going to flatten out because people aren't going to buy two copies of the game. They don't need two copies of the game, right?" So the only thing you can do at that point is expansions. And I don't mind expansions versus DLC because expansions
Oh,
are
right. Yeah.
namely, you know, we had this discussion once, DLC versus expansion, when we talked
Expansion.
about The Witcher. You know, they have to do something where they give you content but charge you for it. And I think they gave you The Dark Below and, you know, The Taken King, and now it's, well, we have to do the small amounts of money times a lot, and
Times a lot, yeah.
that's your microtransactions, right? And
Right.
they're doing it so far the correct way. It's all aesthetic. It doesn't affect the game.
Right,
It
exactly, yeah.
only affects how you look. So you know, if they're getting $2 to $3 every time somebody wants to buy a, because I think, so I think this, the way that the silver in Destiny works is that 100 silver is $1, and most of the emotes I've seen are 200 or 300 silver.
So it's two to three dollars. Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. They gave everybody $4 to start with, so, you know, in theory, you could say that's free money, but you could also just say, but it's free money, but they just gave up this much in sales by giving it away. So whether or not they gave out money because they're giving you access to content that exists, you know, they could have just easily not given you anything and made you buy it.
True.
So, like, trying to bring this all, this fucking giant train back around to Ubisoft, I think the problem is that for whatever reason, Ubisoft keeps trying to do something a little bit different than they did the last time. And I think for them, I think Assassin's Creed has too solid a foundation for that. And I think they need to just kind of stick with their guns and make the Call of Duty style changes to the game where they change little bits of things and keep a similar storyline between the games. And change, you know, but the setting changes and maybe the time period changes, which means that, you know, certain mechanics change to reflect that. So, like, you know, if they're, you know, because obviously Syndicate is kind of like the Industrial Revolution for London. Mm-hmm. Like, you're starting to deal with mechanical things and technology being created. You can kind of change your tools and assassins' weapons around that.
Mm-hmm. True.
Whereas I don't think you can really break the formula too much because you will end up dealing with the vocal minority. And I say that vocal minority because the games still sell well. You know, all of these games still sell well. And until they don't, ultimately the guys in suits don't give a shit. I mean, and that's, I'm not even trying to be a dick when I say it. They don't care.
It's true. Yeah, like Walmart
doesn't care until the numbers tell them they should care. Like they're not going to say, oh, we should stop selling pickles because, you know, people don't like pickles. They're not going to stop selling pickles until pickles don't sell well, you know?
Right.
That's a kind of offhanded example only because there was a thing back in the day with Vlasic Pickle in Walmart. But, you know, until there's a huge drop in sales for Assassin's Creed, they aren't really going to make any changes that ultimately the players want because they see no reason to.
True.
You know, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there, did it make a noise? Well, if Assassin's Creed releases with problems but it still sells well, does anyone care?
True.
You know, and I think there is an element of because they're pumping these games out so fast, they probably don't have time to make that many changes anyways. And they probably don't have a lot of time to fix things before they launch. Because they set themselves up in this trajectory of, you know, these games have to be ready to go by such and such a time. It's like, I don't get why they don't just dedicate one team to fixing it. But then you have to look at Ubisoft as a whole, and they're stretched really thin. They make a lot of games. They publish a lot of games. So I just, you know, if Ubisoft restructured and then, you know, brought it down a bit,
right,
I think that would help make the games better, you know?
True.
If they weren't making so many different games, they could probably make the games better. But, like, I mean, I don't recall Far Cry being really issue-driven, but I didn't play it, so...
That's true, yeah, because I think that's another annual Ubisoft series.
They're definitely making it that way. I cannot continue to stress how much it saddens me how Far Cry has changed from the original games. Like, it really, really, like, actually, like, the next time I end up at a conference and I have the opportunity to talk with, like, one of the creative people on the Far Cry team, I really am just going to be like, what the fuck? Like, really? The story from the original Far Cry Instincts was awesome. It had a fantastic storyline. And then you just kind of changed it to this open world sandbox where, like, the story and the location are different, but the gameplay is the same. And the gameplay was not what drove Far Cry. The story was what drove Far Cry. But the problem is it's the same deal. They're going to be like, yeah, but the game sells super well, you know? And Far Cry 5 or whatever, Far Cry Evolution, Primal, Far Cry Primal, it's just Ark. It's just Ark, but with a Far Cry twist, you know?
Yeah.
It's just Far Cry Dinosaurs. I mean, and yeah, I'm being super limited in generalizing the game, but like that's really ultimately how I see it. And it's how I see most of the Far Cry games now because of the way they changed them.
How they changed them, yeah, how they theme it, I guess.
Yeah, like I really wished they had a gun. And I think Far Cry 2 probably was close, you know, because there was a driving factor mm-hmm. in the game that directly, I guess, affected the player in a way that 3 and 4 don't. You know, Far Cry 1, you were injected with that stuff that, you know, gave you feral abilities.
Right.
In Far Cry 2, you end up with malaria in a country where malaria medicine is not easily attainable. So you have to do all these odd jobs and choose sides, which directly influences the rest of the gameplay around those decisions you make because you have malaria and you need to survive.
True.
You know, Far Cry...
You have instincts that you survive on.
Yeah,
rely
like,
on.
Far Cry 4 is you're like related to somebody in this area where there's like a war going on and you just pick a side and help people out.
Basically.
You know. So, you know, Far Cry 3 was...
3 wasn't too bad.
No, I mean, 3 was you're trying to escape from the island.
Yeah, 3 was still a survival instincts type thing. 4 wasn't so much survival, as more, hey,
like,
these guys are going to give you guns.
Yeah, but like 3 was different because 3, weren't you just... like random
some heat. Kid that got stuck on the island.
You got stuck on the island, right? Like
you learned how to kill and this
yeah,
and that.
Yeah, so like that's the thing. Like there's not like there's no added excitement to that storyline for me at least, right? Because it's not like he had any innate abilities. Like in Far Cry 2, your character is being driven by the fact that he got malaria, right?
Right. So he's got
and he can't just leave because he needs to keep his malaria under control. You know, Far Cry 1, you have these feral abilities and you're dealing with the transformation of your feral abilities while trying to stop said dude from then, like, using it as, like, I don't think he wanted to use it as, like, a biological weapon, but sort of like that. You know, Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 3 didn't have that. They just had the, like, oh, you're stuck in this situation, so now all of a sudden become the best fucking assassin in the world who kills millions of people and doesn't die. Which is like most video. I mean, it's like most video games. I mean, when you really think about it,
yeah, you're just kind of thrown into a
Call
situation.
Call of Duty, you just survive like the you know immeasurable odds. But it's no different than, like The Last of Us. You know, you survive. You're surviving immeasurable odds. So like you, that's I think is a you've got to throw that one out of the window and just ignore that part of the game. But like, there's no big driving force. To me, at least, from Far Cry 3 and 4. So I don't know how Primal's going to work.
We'll find out.
And I'm not really not excited about it. I mean, Far Cry 4 looks cool. I played it a couple times when I got like the token things from people.
Mm-hmm.
So I could play for an hour at a time or whatever. But I just, meh.
Meh.
I just couldn't do it.
That's what you can get into. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think part of it is that Ubisoft does a lot of stuff. They release the games too fast, but, you know, if the games still sell well, you know, the likelihood of them really doing anything different, aside from if their ability to change them change, because I just think that they're spread too thin. I think they do too much stuff.
I agree, yeah.
So.
I agree.
But,
yeah, that's basically what I wanted to cover on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure somebody could be like, no, look at the numbers, you're so wrong. Say it.
If you have a disagreeing, you know, view on it, let us know, tweet.
Yeah, feel free to tell me why you think differently. Because I am curious. I mean, from all appearances, it just looks like people always complain about these games, but they buy them.
Right.
It's like, you know, trust me, I have boycotted many a thing in my life. You know, there are stores I will not shop at.
Right.
Convenience stores with better pricing. I go out of my way and spend more money because I have boycotted certain stores. I have boycotted certain gas station companies.
Oh, wow.
So I won't buy gas from them. So I literally, if I am running out of gas, I'm running out of gas, not buying from that gas station. And and so the fun part of that is that when you drive from Massachusetts to New York, upstate, which I did a lot when I was in college because that's where I went to school, for a year at least. The first couple hundred miles of the Mass Pike, Mass Pike probably, I don't think I'm going that far on the Mass Pike, but the first couple hundred miles of the New York Thruway, it's all, or was at the time, one particular gas station. And so, like, you know, I'm looking at my gas gauge being like, well, you know, I'm you know, on a half a tank, and that's a couple hundred miles, so, like, I don't need to stop for gas. Except it became that I have to stop for gas here, because if I don't, I won't be able to get gas. Or I have to get off the pike, off the thruway, pay the toll, get gas at a random station, then get back on the thruway, pay the toll, just to not buy from that gas station.
Right.
And, I mean, this is a won't buy from this gas station anywhere, so... Like, doesn't matter where I am, what state I'm in.
Just I refuse. Doesn't matter, refuse.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So, like, my thing is like I said, I won't buy a Call of Duty game. I probably won't. Like, I played the beta for Black Ops 3. It was cool.
Right.
You know, it's different because it was fresh enough since I had not played the Call of Duty games in forever. Because, I mean, I think I probably played, like, 5 matches on Advanced Warfare. Mm-hmm. Like, I probably have only ever played the game on my Xbox One twice. So it's not like I had any in-depth experience with it.
Right.
So I'm saying, like, so Black Ops 3 was super fresh as an experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't played. So it felt okay, and I'm not against it, but
right.
The second the beta went public and everybody else was in it and all the tryhards and all the people who were just really good at that game got in, the game became no fun.
Then it's just no fun. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that is... you know, that's where that one goes for me. So I still don't see myself buying a Call of Duty game.
Fair enough.
But I mean, you just, I think people just need to stick to their guns. I think.
Right. No, exactly.
Or you have to be legitimately like, what's the word I'm looking for? To be legitimately focused on your.
Focus, yeah.
Well, it's not, focus isn't what I'm looking for, but it's what I'm going to go with.
I get what you mean, though.
On like, your issues with said game, example being Mass Effect 3.
People were
completely disappointed in the ending, so much so that they changed the ending. So if you are that legitimately upset with the Assassin's Creed games, you need to take an approach, much like those people did, and force them to change it.
Right. What led with controversy, though, because they had their vision for the game.
Yes, and then people forced them to change it. So I'm saying in that
particular... I think that's also that particular, kind of unfair, though.
Well, it's different because that is kind of like a scare tactic, and you're forcing the people to change their vision of the game, which is fine. They gave you an optional ending or whatever so that people would leave them alone. But what I mean is that they made enough of a stink about it purchasing the game that they made waves enough, big enough that the developers actually did something, you know? Everyone likes to complain about Assassin's Creed, but nothing
major. There's a
major
difference between saying something and then actually
they need to cause a positive reaction, right? And you know, whether or not you call forcing them to change the ending of Mass Effect a positive result, like it got those people what they wanted, right? So for all the people who are frustrated with Assassin's Creed, don't buy the game. Do not buy the game. Stand firm in not buy the game. Do not buy it after launch. Do not buy it used. Do not purchase the game. Because if the sales drop like 30% and then they start looking into why the sales dropped and they start seeing on forums, I refuse to buy this game. I'm not going to buy this game until they do XYZ. Then they'll start listening, you know? But if you just sit there and you bought the game and then you complain about it, like, it's unlikely that much is going to change. That's all I'm saying. Sure. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, yeah. Sure.
So we'll move into my topic. So, obviously, there was a new PS4 model that came out
That's the terabyte one, isn't it? Or...
Well, I don't know if it's the terabyte or the 500 gig, but it's it, you know the glossy top part.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just a new model, right? So it's matte like the rest of the console, and it has real power buttons, which I'm so envious of.
Oh, gotcha.
The back ports have changed a little bit, and it's, you know, it uses less power, generates less heat, supposedly quieter, all so that fun stuff, right?
Rest of the boat, it's not crazy. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Gotcha. So anyway, so there's that. So we already have one new iteration of the PlayStation console, and this was written by Eddie Makuch. I don't know. Makuch. It was written yesterday. No, 2 days ago, the 23rd, and it's GameSpot, and it says high power PS4 model, something Sony might consider. Executive says hypothetically, and so I'm gonna crunch it down and say that they were having an interview with the Sony Computer Entertainment Senior Vice President Masayasu Ito, who was asked for his thoughts in a new interview about offering a new PS4 model with better performance sometime down the road. Okay. And the original interview, I guess, was with a Japanese gaming publication, 4Gamer. Got translated by DualShockers. You know, I'm reading it on GameSpot. And so... the Sony Ito guy said the PS4 uses x86 architecture, so improvements can be made over time, but there's no plans to reduce a technically superior, not technically as in like sort of technically like the actual tech specs of the device, superior right. PS4 model. And then he also then hypothesized whether they would even do it at all. So I thought that was super interesting, right? Because that's never actually really been done before, with the exception of two, in my head, with the exception of two consoles, have I ever seen that occur? And I'm going to give you a chance to guess at them. So two consoles that that had expanded, that had physically expanded without having to drastically change said device.
Are they still under the Sony banner? Or...
No, they're not Sony consoles. I'm okay. Saying these are video game consoles that increased their power.
Oh, increased their power.
They increased their power, but the console itself basically remained the same.
I could be wrong, but I feel like Nintendo and then Sega.
Which Nintendo and which Sega?
I feel like the either the SNES or the GameCube, and then the one of the Genesis.
Okay, so you're wrong on the first, right on the second. So the Nintendo 64 had the expansion pack.
Oh, right.
It increased
the
memory for the physical console, right?
Right. It's true.
GameCube might have had something, but the only thing I can remember was the Game Boy Advance thing that attached to the bottom, which would have been a Super Game Boy, which didn't increase the power.
Yeah.
But the expansion pack on the N64 actually increased it, added 2 megs of RAM to the console.
You needed that to play
Perfect Dark, some of the I think some of the rare games, which yep. Perfect Dark is a rare game, but right, and then. Yeah. In most currently the Nintendo 3DS, the new Nintendo 3DS, because it's actually more powerful than the original 3DS. And so there are games that only play on the 3DS, on the new 3DS versus the old 3DSs, right?
Yep.
Much like the N64 expansion pack. If you didn't have the expansion pack, you couldn't play certain N64 games, but largely the console remained the same. The other was the Sega 32X. Which went into the Sega Genesis, which turned it from a 16-bit to a 32-bit system.
Yep.
But you could still play your old games on it. I don't think it changed your 16-bit games. It basically just was a pass-through. But it allowed you to play better games on the same hardware with a small upgrade. Right? And we haven't really seen anything like that in a long time. Effectively, it's just you have to buy this new console.
Correct. Yep.
You know, whereas on the in the PC side of things, you know, you could just upgrade your video card, upgrade your hard drive, upgrade your RAM, you know, to whatever the specs of your motherboard is, and then if you max your motherboard out, you can replace your motherboard and keep all the other stuff. So, the new PS4 model that currently exists is actually different than the existing one in the sense that I guess on the motherboard on the consoles that like we have, it has 16 512 megabyte memory modules because it has 8 gigs of DDR5 RAM. So it has 16 512 chips. The new one has 8 gigabyte chips. So there's less chips to generate less heat and less noise, and that's where you get your power efficiency from.
I see.
So that is, and then there's some other stuff that I guess changed on it too. But so anyway, so that was what I was, you know, so they changed the hardware but didn't change the specs. The question would be, would they release a PS4X, you know, PS4 32X, right?
Wow. Gotcha.
You know, so would you release, would you have the PS4 and the PS4 Ultra? Right. The PS4 Ultra would have, you know, 16 gigabytes of DDR5 RAM instead of 8 gigabytes of DDR5 RAM, and it would have two HDMI outputs, you know, or it supported 4K, right?
Right.
You know, that would be that, I suppose, you know, a new, a better processor or something like that. You know, solid-state hard drive, things like, you know, but the solid-state hard drive doesn't really change the performance as much as changing the RAM or the video, you know, the actual GPU.
Right.
So the question is, you know, if they did that, would you buy the new one? And or, because the point that Eddie makes in this article is that, and I'll read his thing, offering a beefier PS4 model would conceivably split the PS4 audience, which doesn't sound like something Sony would want to do at this stage, with the PS4 enjoying such strong sales and momentum. So, the second you offer the PS4 Ultra, which is what I'm dubbing it for right now, it's hypothetical, just work with me, people. Would you be crippling the current community because it's unlikely that they are going to go out and buy
an upgrade? Yeah.
Said, because that's the thing, right? It's not like we would be able to upgrade the system ourselves.
Right,
because exactly. The system itself isn't, you know, it's not modular. So would you then buy a new PS4 Ultra, and or if the games, so I guess the problem really is if this was a thing to exist, one, would you buy it? Because assume it's going to be more expensive than the PS4 you already have.
Correct.
And two, how does it affect the games that we play? Does it make my old games play in a slightly up res, which doesn't really make sense? And the other question would be, is it going to be like the new Nintendo 3DS, you know, the new Nintendo 3DS, where those games only play on the new 3DS? So are there going to be games that, you know, would Uncharted 5, not that I think there'll be an Uncharted 5, but
right,
you know, would Uncharted 5 only play on the PS4 Ultra and not on the regular PS4?
Thus, basically, not so much, I guess, forcing you, but if you were that kind of person that I gotta upgrade,
right,
then you would eventually, you would get the Ultra over keeping the vanilla PS4.
Yeah. Also, did you, like, move your mic or something? Because it's...
I don't think so.
Okay, because it was, like, super, super fuzzy for a second.
Is that any better?
Yeah, it's better now. Yeah, so that was where I was going. Because, I mean, as far as every other thing has existed, everyone just had to go with it, you know?
Right. Stick to your whatever.
Well, you had to just upgrade, right? So if you wanted to play 3DS games, you had to buy a 3DS from a DS. Now if you want to play the new 3DS games, you have to buy new Nintendo 3DS. If you wanted to play Perfect Dark, you had to buy the expansion pack.
That's true. I made that mistake renting Majora's Mask and not knowing that.
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to play Star Wars the arcade game on your Sega Genesis, you had to have a 32X. It wouldn't play without a 32X. It was a different cartridge. It was, you know, the difference was those were add-ons to your existing hardware. The Nintendo 3DS is a completely new piece of hardware. So it'll play, it's backwards compatible with all your old stuff, but you can't use it.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess my question would be, would you buy a new PS4 Ultra?
That yeah, see, that's where the struggle comes, because it's like, if there's no actual new games that I need the console to play with, then I guess I'm good with my current PS4. But if there's a sequel that they're like, well, okay, well, we can't put Final Fantasy on the current PS4, we have to put it on the Ultra, then I'm like, well, you know, damn it.
Right.
Because I do want that game, but I don't want to shell out the X amount of money that it's going to cost. Because who says if they did that, what if they upped the game prices then? So instead of 60, you're paying 70. Because it's a more powerful system. It's a more, I guess, you know, a better game per se.
I mean, in that for that argument, I don't think that would happen, because in theory, PC games haven't done that. You know, and PC, the difference, I mean, the reality is that consoles in general are very locked down. You know, it's not like you can, you know, you're not releasing multiple versions of it, because every console is the same, whereas every PC is not the same. So the games themselves have to be flexible for.
Right.
Different resolutions, different processors, different graphics cards. You know, there have to be drivers made for the fuck, which is like the most annoying thing ever. Seriously, I hate having to update my graphics card, because I have to update it
anytime.
Well, it just pops up notifications like, "Hey, you have this game," because it links to your Steam and stuff. So it's like, "Hey," or just your scans your hard drive in general. But
gotcha.
It's like, hey, we know you have this game, and there's a graphics driver for your video card for this game. And, you know, I have to click through, and it downloads it and installs it, and that's it. But it is frustrating that I constantly have to do that, whereas at least I just throw the disc in my PS4 or, you know, download it and hope that the game isn't broken and they have to patch it.
True.
Which, you know, it's not – that's not an unavoidable thing on PC. The difference I run into is I hate that I constantly have to update.
Yeah.
I have to update hardware to play the software, whereas I don't really have to update the hardware on the PS4 ever. I have to update firmware occasionally.
Right.
Or in theory, I guess it's the same thing, because I'm updating firmware. I'm not updating my video card hardware. I'm updating the firmware for it. But I have to do that far more frequently. And I don't, like, I suppose I don't see the benefit in it, but I guess if it makes the games run better, that's my benefit. But it is frustrating that I constantly have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of.
So anyways, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is this. If the PS4 Ultra existed or was going to be a thing, like, is there, you know, like what Billy Harper from Sucker Punch had said when he was on the podcast and we were talking about like HoloLens and VR, and this was like, what's the killer app, right?
True.
And it's, you know, if Sony was going to make a Ultra PS4 that had more power, one, that would mean that developers would have to be making games for it and in theory for the regular. So there'd be two PS4 versions of each game. Which seems weird. I would think that they would just go to Ultra and that would be it.
Right.
Which forces everyone with a PS4 now to buy the new one. In that sense, it would just be PS5, right? Like, ultimately, right. That's what it would be. Yeah. It would just be PS5. Like, you wouldn't make a beefier version of your PS4. You know, because, even the PS3s, as they evolved, you know, when you got the Slim and the Super Slim, the only thing I think that really changed was maybe the hard drive went to solid state.
Solid state.
Because it was like the 12 gigabyte one was built in memory. So in theory, that was flash, which is solid state. But, you know, the it's not like they got faster or had more memory, because the cell processor was designed the way it was. Obviously, with x86, the game has changed. And in theory, they could start releasing new PS4 models with a better video card. But how would that affect the rest of us? And how would that affect the games that are being made for that newer video card that we wouldn't have in our old PS4s? I don't know.
Right.
I guess the problem is there's a lot of technical stuff that I'm not knowledgeable enough. It just seems like if you were going to release a more powerful version of the PS4, it would just be the PS5.
Basically.
But I get that they have the ability now that it's x86 and it basically is a PC, that they could do that. The problem is then people who have old PS4s would be like, well, what the fuck? You know, now I have this PS4 that's not the new powerful model, and it, you know, are the games that I play going to be slightly crippled? You know, especially when there are certain games that start to break the PS4 as it is. I mean, it's not like they break them crazily, but you know, you start to see some frame rate issues in some games.
Right.
So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
I like that.
Because even like some of the new models, because this was on the comment section of the GameSpot thing, and the person who posted this said, the biggest difference in change is the double-density Samsung memory modules. Instead of 16/512 GDDR5, the new model has 8 1GB GDDR5. They consume less energy, and because there are half of them, there is a significant reduction in heat. And then he linked to an article on Gear Nuke where they basically disassemble the PS4, and they show you the differences in the circuit boards. So you can see where there's chips on either side, and then on the new one, there's less chips.
Right. See the actual difference, not just...
Yeah. And so that, and basically that is how you, in like how they changed the, you know, the ports got changed around and stuff too, which is kind of weird. Gotcha. I don't really care, but, you know, so that like is there a benefit of just simply remanufacturing the PS4 in a way that makes it quieter and use less heat and less, you know, make less heat and use less power? Probably. In theory, that means the video card just has more, you know, ability to run without obstruction. So I would think that there is enough of probably a benefit from that that allows them to then maybe just push the envelope of what the graphics card can do on its own without, you know, risking the console overheating. You know, they can just push it a little bit. Right. So my guess is that maybe from the new models, they'll, you know, they might just pinch it up just a little. The only problem is they would almost have to have a thing that detects whether it's an, you know, the code would have to detect whether you're running a new or an old one.
Yeah.
And know that if it's, you know, detects new model, it can bump up graphics then by 1.1% or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one of those things where it gets into this complicated mess where I just feel like they wouldn't bother. They would just make the game off the base level PS4. So the advantage to you is just that it uses less power, it's quieter, and generates less heat. Which for me, I'm actually starting to get a little bit nervous about my PS4.
Why?
It's way louder than it ever used to be. And it's always been vertical. It's always been in a stand. I always clean it and vacuum it so that there's there's no dust buildup. And it's got so much ventilation around it. There really isn't any explanation for me as to what the deal is, other than the Taken King requires like more power, because it seems like when I play the Taken King, the fan kicks in way more than it ever did before.
Hmm. Interesting.
But I don't know. So part of me is kind of like, man, I don't know if I want to get a new PS4.
Right.
You know, but I can't afford to. And I hate the idea of selling a console, especially because this is a launch model. You know, I do have a launch model.
Same here.
And, you know, I put in a 1 TB hard drive, and it is a 7200 RPM hard drive, which I've never had a single issue with it at all being 7200 RPMs. Because a lot of people were like, oh, it's going to generate too much heat because it spins faster. And I'm like, no, in theory, it should generate less because it's spinning faster run, you know, so it's not running, whatever.
No, I get you.
So,
it's a struggle.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a huge struggle.
You know, my legitimate concern is that there's something starting to go wrong with my PS4. But like I said, I mean, I vacuum it and I keep it dustless. It's not dust free, but it's dustless.
You still maintain.
Yeah, I maintain. Care. You know, if I start to see, like, I have one of the microfiber cloths that I have a bunch of them actually, and I keep like near the console so that I can just kind of wipe off excess dust around the console, around my power supply, the power strip that I have everything plugged into. You know, I wipe around the PS4 and I will regularly pop off my little stand and kind of wipe that down so that there's no issues with airflow. I actually might even cut more holes into the stand that I have because I just feel like it doesn't have enough, but it honestly has never really been an issue. And before I even had that stand, I used to just stand the PS4 up with no stand at all. Like I just left it vertical. Mm. It's not like it was an issue. Nobody's going to bang into the table it's on and knock it over. So it never was an issue. But I always got nervous because the console was just, you know, the only airflow coming to it was through that little channel.
Through that little channel, yeah. I say, is there a difference of having it vertical versus horizontal?
Horizontal.
Yeah,
it's not a word. I like it though. Sorry. Horizontal. I keep it horizontal. Is there a difference? I don't know. Back when I was having issues with my PS3 not reading Uncharted and not reading The Last of Us, I was told by somebody that worked at a Sony company. I'm not picking on him. This is what he told me. Oh, it's bad to keep it vertical for the disc drive, and I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, I'm not picking on you. I'm not really trying to start a stink. But my argument is that that's just BS. Because my laptop is it goes in every which direction possible, and the disk drive works flawlessly. You know, I burn CDs while the laptop is moving or unbalanced. So, like, to tell me that because my PS4 sits vertically, that or my PS3 sits vertically, right, that was the issue that my disk drive was having, I was kind of just like, meh.
Right, yeah.
So, like, I personally, no, I think that having it vertical is better than having it horizontal, only because there is greater surface area for air to pass by, which allows it to be cool.
Right.
Because when you have it, you know, the only thing touching a table is the thin, you know, the thin end of the base. Whereas if you have it on, you know, horizontal, it's the big flat surface area, which is only elevated by like small little rubber tabs. So I have my PS4 vertical, and I have, you know, three to four inches of space on either side of it, because I got the PS3 and then the Xbox One next to it, on either side of it, plus, you know, above it, because the Xbox One has to be horizontal, because it's just all fucking air vents,
right?
I just, there's way more airflow to my PS4, so in theory it should stay cooler, but fair it enough. Seems like with the Taken King and a few other games that I've been playing, like the PS4 started, it's just cranking a little bit more than I remember it. So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but obviously I'm just going to play it out.
Right.
Cause I can't just replace it, and I can't afford to anyways. So yeah, if it broke, I'd be screwed.
I know that struggle. Yeah. I should be without a PS4 for a little while.
Yep. I remember that. I remember those days. But that's, you know, so that's where I'm at. That's,
yeah.
So, yeah, again, I mean, I think that it's an interesting concept that they would release, like, a different model. I just, the reality is I would think that they would just call it the PS5.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because
like, there'd be no reason to not call it that.
Yeah, like, we're introducing a PS4 that's more powerful than the previous PS4, and there's games it won't play.
Right. You know, it might as well be a whole new console.
Yeah, because assume from this point on, because it's x86, that the games will be backwards compatible forever. You know? They probably won't do it because they bought PS Now for $400 million, and they have to, you know, the Gaikai system has to pay itself off somehow. They wouldn't just eat that.
No,
you know?
Right.
So PS Now is going to be your backwards compatibility for, like, your older stuff. But, in theory, the PS4... should play on the PS5 whenever it comes out, pending that they both use x86 architecture, which I see no reason why they wouldn't.
True.
You know, if Xbox One, and, you know, Xbox One didn't really figure out backwards compatibility. They essentially just wrote a script that allows you to play the digital versions of the 360 games on your console. I mean, that's effectively all Rare Replay is. It's a disc with emulator ROMs on it. You know, it's not it's not putting an Xbox 360 it's just downloading the Xbox 360 versions of most of those games.
Right.
So, they play great. They look great. I enjoy it. I haven't played much of it recently.
Right.
I'm in a two now. So the cool part is that my Xbox One has become my go-to NDA machine. And what I mean by that is there are now two NDA games on my Xbox One that I'm not, like, allowed to talk about that I've been playing. And it seems like, because most of these games exist on PC generally first, that...
Right.
I mean, one of those two exists on PS4 as well.
Gotcha.
But I'm now just opting to get anything that's, like, unreleased or it's like reviews and things like that. Like I've been trying to get more Xbox One stuff just to put more time into that console.
Right. Yeah.
Because I feel like I neglect it and it's, you know, mm-hmm. kind of eats at me that I spent all this money on it and I don't use it that much.
Don't use it that much. Yeah.
It's like I got it for Halo Master Chief and then that was just a waste.
Right.
You know, I have, that's like it. I have Rare Replay and Call of Duty and Titanfall. It was like the only four. Right. Plus whatever free game. You know, I always get the free games.
Whatever, free games, yeah.
But, you know, and that's, it's fine. You know, it's not the end of the world, but I've been trying to, anytime I do like reviews, if there's an Xbox One version, I go for the Xbox
One. Right, you'll get the Xbox One.
Because, I mean, I can play it on my PC, but I really do prefer console. So I've just been trying to, anytime that I get an opportunity, I do it on Xbox.
Right.
But I, I would say that should be, we should end it here only because now we're at the hour mark and I've been trying to stick us to an hour.
Right. Yeah. Don't go over and just kind of end up just rambling about stuff. Yeah. No one cares about
pretty much. So I do not have any shout outs this week. But that's, you know what? I'm going to shout out Telltale again.
Oh yeah. For mine.
Minecraft story mode. Still dig it. And for those who are wondering about streaming, I am going to try and stream weekends. So I'll probably stream again later tonight. It's Sunday. By the time you hear this, it's probably already over. But just because my schedule is, it never seems to work out that I could be consistent at any time during the week. And usually by the time I get home during the week, I want to just kind of chill. And setting up for streaming is not usually. So generally speaking, for right now, let's just assume that when I stream on twitch.tv/dgcasttv, it will be on the weekends.
Right.
So I'm also still screwing with the Elgato because it seems to be not working with OBS. It works fine in their software.
Mm-hmm.
But when I try to use Steam Connect, Stream Command, whatever, their like OBS-esque version, it crashes. Mm-hmm. So I can stream, you know, vanilla Elgato.
Right. So when you streamed last time, from
PS4.
Basically just...
I just streamed from the PS4.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, I've just been streaming from the PS4.
Gotcha.
So anyways, you know, this will be posted on YouTube just like it is on iTunes once the post goes live. You can follow us on Twitter at the DGCast. I am at So After I Said. Mike is at...
mtong1.
So you can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet at us. Tell us, you know.
Tell us some good. Tell us some suck.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, give us something to talk about, too.
And, you know, like I said, so I'm working with the Elgato. I'm working with my OBS settings. I'm going to try and go from written reviews to video reviews on games. I've got a few reviews in the pipeline right now. But I think I'm going to try and start doing video reviews and putting them on YouTube. And, you know, I'll keep the written reviews, too. It's just, it seems like most people are going the video route have been for a long time, and I think I just need to get with it. And But it's more just, I don't have it set up, and I can't figure out the video editing part of it, because I have a Mac that I do all the editing with, but everything is coming from a PC, and whatever. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, follow us on Twitter at the DGCast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/c/thedgcast. Check out the website, thedgcast.com. And I think that'll do it for episode 42. As
that is all.
Always, we will catch you
on the flip.